Isaiah 49:15 says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." God may never forget you, but what happens to those suffering from Alzheimer's? It's on this edition of Crossing Borders.
It's time to step outside your comfort zone and check your reservations at the door. This is Crossing Borders, a show to help you provide a response for your hope and faith in light of the culture around us. Now live from the studios of WDCX, it's Crossing Borders with Michael O'Hara and Mick Curtis.
And I'm Mick Curtis, and I'm glad to be with you tonight. Hey, I lost my ear set for a second there.
You're loud and clear.
Loud and clear. Awesome. Well, hey, it's good to be here with you, Michael.
Yeah, it's nice to be inside where it's nice and air conditioned, right?
Oh my goodness, yes.
Really humid, yeah, but yeah. We are back for another edition of Crossing Borders this Saturday evening, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. each and every Saturday night. We appreciate it and hope that you join us for great quality content that we think will encourage you, challenge you, and equip you to engage with the culture around you and to be salt and light.
Last week, we took a little bit of a different approach and we talked with Sean Green, the director of the Great Lakes Christian Film Festival, and he was live in studio. An excellent conversation, and it does kind of it stretches out our borders just a little bit.
Yeah, that's still coming up. That's coming up next weekend, the Great Lakes Christian Film Festival. So that's gonna be right in South Buffalo.
Yeah, now I've spoken with a person I know who works with horses or has been trained that way, and they're gonna have a seminar there or a workshop on working with horses in the film industry.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? I mean, anything you can think of. They're going to have breakout sessions, workshops, people that have been working to a great deal in the film industry to give their advice for people that are interested in getting into that. So he's providing a great platform.
And an opportunity to network with people who are doing just that thing. So it was a really good visit with Sean. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, for those of you that want to find out more, what is it? Great Lakes Christian Film Festival. GLCFF. That stands for Great Lakes Christian Film Festival.
Do a Google search. It'll bring you there. There's not many of these around.
You'll get right there. Hey, I'm really excited about tonight because we are 4 weeks out from a very important event that's happening right here in Buffalo.
In Delaware Park. It's going to be the Walk to End Alzheimer's. I've done it now for a bunch of years. I don't know how long have I done it.
Did you win it last year?
Well, all I know is that in the race, I beat Neil Boron.
And okay, I keep telling you every year, it's not a race.
Yeah, all I know is I crossed the line beforehand. So to me, it's a victory, and I just want to thank all the people that made this possible.
Well, the victory.
It's the Olympics, right?
Yeah, there you go. The victory that we're really after, though, is to raise awareness for Alzheimer's, but also raise money for a couple of different things. One is to fund research to find a cure for this disease. But also, funding also provides an opportunity for support. Sometimes you think, oh, can we really eradicate? Can we really find a cure for this Alzheimer's? And that seems so distant. Hey, it's getting closer and closer than you think. However, even if you think that way, you can still support the Alzheimer's Association, which provides amazing resources for those who suffer from Alzheimer's, as well as those who are caring for loved ones with Alzheimer's.
Absolutely. And the idea that there is no cure, this thing is beyond curing. Look, we thought that about polio. We thought that about some of these just horrible diseases. This is just another one that, you know, we're working towards. We're working on treatments. We're working on supporting people that have it. This is an excellent opportunity for Christians and non-Christians alike to get together and do something that is very good for people in your community.
Yeah, it's not a Christian or non-Christian issue, really. It transcends that. It affects everybody regardless. We want to highlight the need for Alzheimer's and how we can be effective in the lives of those who suffer from it or those who are helping their loved ones. So we have a very special guest, an interview that we did with Dr. Benjamin Mast. Dr. Mast is the Associate Professor and Vice Chair of Psychology and Brain Sciences and the Associate Clinical Professor of Family and Geriatric Medicine at the University of Louisville. Okay, so Mick, the book he wrote is called Second Forgetting.
Second Forgetting. That's an interesting title.
Yeah, and the subtitle, Remembering the Power of the Gospel During Alzheimer's. So we want to find out, just to get a baseline and start wanted to ask Dr. Mast, how did he get involved with this issue of Alzheimer's? Dr. Mast, you really are an expert in this area, in your teaching profession, your clinical work, your knowledge of Alzheimer's disease. You have a book that came out. It's called Second Forgetting, subtitled Remembering the Power of the Gospel During Alzheimer's. When did that book come out?
So that book has been out about 2 years now, so September of 2014.
We were talking before that there's not really many authors or books or any kind of writing that's dealing with Alzheimer's from a biblical or scriptural perspective. And this is getting really important because this is really going to change the face of America, right? Tell us a little bit about the statistics.
Yeah, so the current estimates are that we have in the United States alone about 5 million people living with Alzheimer's disease, and there are other dementias as well. But more importantly, that number is expected to continue to grow and even triple in the coming decades. So up to 15 million people living with Alzheimer's disease. We already have over 15 million family caregivers, the people who take the vast majority of the care responsibilities, and they're giving billions of hours of informal, unpaid care every year. And so you're right on that even if we're not currently experiencing it in our families or our personal lives, at some point we will be affected by Alzheimer's disease, either experiencing the symptoms or providing care for a family or a friend or somebody in our church community.
Think about that. 2050, there's going to be estimated 16 million Americans living with Alzheimer's. That's about half the Canadian population. And you also go on to say that, or someone stated that 88% of older people identify as Christians, and up to 70% say this is very important to them. So whether it's the effects of the workplace drawing so many adult kids take care of mom or dad, now we're losing a lot of our workforce, this is going to drastically affect our society. But let me back up a little bit. What got you into brain science and what you're doing now?
It's always an interesting mental journey to go back and try to figure out how we got here. One of the really important aspects of my story in terms of coming to know Alzheimer's disease as a major and personal challenge came with the first of my grandfathers developing Alzheimer's disease. And it really stands out in my memory because he was experiencing pretty significant problems with memory, asking us same questions over and over again and seeming confused. And we would accept any explanation for what was going on for him other than Alzheimer's disease. And it really wasn't until one day where he left to drive to a meeting that he went to for years and years every week, and he didn't show up by the time night fell. And to make a long story short, he had not driven to the meeting. He had driven 300 miles away to a little farmhouse. He drove up and walked inside and sat down in a recliner and fell asleep. He was a whole state away from where he was intending to be. This was one of those wake-up moments where we realized, you know, this isn't normal aging. This isn't a problem with hearing. There's something really significant going on, and we have to find out more and get this checked out. And I think many people who are in the Alzheimer's field have stories like this. For me, it really opened my eyes to the great difficulties of Alzheimer's disease, the way that people have lived long and interesting and even faithful lives and then had their worlds turned upside down by these microscopic changes in their brains. And that was really the start of how I got here.
So that was the start of how Dr. Mast started down this journey into brain science and memory and what he's doing today. And the statistics are astounding. I mean, with Alzheimer's growing, part of it is that people actually have better health, so they're living longer. And because they're living longer, maybe they're outpacing their brains.
Well, there's 16 million people right now in the United States that have this.
Yeah, so with such a large number, of course, people have family members or loved ones or had experiences with people with Alzheimer's.
Yeah, and I've said this before, it's no secret. And we've shared it, and it's worth sharing. But my wife, Judy, her grandmother had Alzheimer's disease, and I shared this before, but, you know, I had never, the first time I had ever been exposed to it was with her grandmother, you know, and as an 18-year-old, mm-hmm. which is when I met her, even the name of the disease was new to me. I thought, you know, this, it can't be anything more than, you know, just age-related forgetfulness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it is insidious. It's complicated, and you know it even gets more complicated because you have these moments of lucidity with the person where they're their old self,
right?
And
right.
Then the next minute they're not, and it really does throw you.
I remember one time when I lived in the Memphis area, I was driving home. I worked an hour away. I drive home early in the morning. It was 4 a.m. And I remember seeing this car off to the side of the road, almost kind of in the ditch. And so I pulled over to help the person. And it was this older lady. And this was an hour outside of Memphis. So let's say from Buffalo to, let's say, Alden or even further, Batavia maybe. And she had left at 4 p.m. the following day. And she was going two blocks away to have dinner with somebody or to go somewhere. I forget. But that was, you know, 12 hours later. And she was over an hour away from where she was supposed to be. These are instances that are not uncommon, and the need is great. But there's two things that Dr. Mass said about his story of his grandfather that really piqued my attention. One is that they would accept any diagnosis other than Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
And the first one, though, is normal aging. And I started wondering. I said, well, okay. So are we supposed to just accept that memory loss is just a normal part of aging?
Well, there is a level of memory change that happens as we grow older, and it is something that we have to come to accept. So, you know, what the science of aging suggests is that we actually start to experience very subtle declines, even in middle age, moving into older age as well. But there's a difference between the everyday forgetting that we might experience that we can, in a way, compensate for, or if somebody offers us a reminder, that memory will come back. But in Alzheimer's disease, the memory problems are much more significant. Offering reminders doesn't typically help, and the person has a lot of difficulty compensating for the forgetting, and it starts to interfere with their daily functioning. In normal aging, typically we'll forget something and it will come back to us later. We may forget where we put our car keys once in a while. We may even forget once in a while where we parked, but it isn't a consistent ongoing thing. And importantly, it's not getting worse. Alzheimer's, it's consistent, it gets worse, and it interferes with daily functioning.
Well, one other thing you said regarding your grandfather is that your family would probably accept any reason for his issues, the changes that you were noticing. Is that because there was, or maybe even still is, a stigma to Alzheimer's and other dementias?
There is a stigma, but I would say even more so, there's just a lot of fear. And, you know, surveys suggest now that Alzheimer's is the number one most feared medical condition in late life. And as people learn more about it, they become more and more afraid of it. And so you learn that in Alzheimer's disease, we don't yet have a cure. And the current medications that we have are good, but not as good as we would like them to be. And Alzheimer's slowly gets worse. And those are three big pieces of very difficult news. And so when we started on this journey, it was much more acceptable for us and less fear-provoking to think, well, he just doesn't hear us very well. That's why he's asking the same question. Or he's not paying attention. Or, you know, there's something else going on. But anything but that. Because we're so afraid, we collectively, you and I, are so afraid of Alzheimer's that if that's actually what's going on, that it is really a life-changing experience for many people.
That fear is a big thing. Can you imagine when people are getting older and they're starting to feel like they're forgetting things and they don't want to be a burden to their spouse or to their kids, or they simply, maybe their jobs or their life was based on how mentally astute they were, and to lose that, I guess it would really be an identity, right?
Yeah, you're right on there. It is an identity issue, and it's a big one for us to grapple with as we face Alzheimer's. So who am I and what defines and who defines who I am. And I think it's one of the reasons why having a Christian and a biblical perspective on Alzheimer's is so important, because the scriptures tell us that we are much more than our intelligence and we are much more than our achievements. We're created in the image of God, and we are deeply known by Him and deeply loved and sustained by Him. You'll hear very often in Alzheimer's disease that that isn't just the same person that I knew. They're not the same person. They're a shell of who they used to be. And certainly there are very dramatic changes, but we also have to hold on to the eternal truth that we are a child of God, sustained and loved by Him, and that we have our identity in Christ and not just in our memory functioning.
You know, I find that really, really interesting that Alzheimer's disease is the most feared disease in America.
Yeah, and over cancer.
Over cancer. And that's, I mean, we were talking about
the big C, right?
Yeah. And that's a recent thing, I think, more because not just the fact that, you know, so many people have come into the condition of having Alzheimer's, but also the fact that, you know, we're talking about something that attacks the very core of who we think we are. You know, if we can't remember our past, if we can't remember, you know, who we are or what we've done, does that invalidate us as people?
Yeah, just right at the end, that's what he was saying, is that we were talking about the identity and by way, our very worth. Because if we don't know who we are, then we're less valuable, maybe even in our own eyes. But uh-oh, maybe even to society.
Well, it does play hard with the ideas of identity and value, you know, to say, I am this person, and because of this, this, and this. Well, what if I can't say because of this, this, and this? You know, does that make me any less valuable?
That's the challenge. And I think throughout Scripture that God challenges that way to always continually be reevaluating people that we would normally assign more value or greater value. And then God says no, that He's no respecter of persons, and the person that's in a catatonic state has just as much value. Mick, as you that works in a high capacity job and you have to use your mental faculties, they got to be firing all the time, right?
Yeah, just to keep my head above water.
Right.
And it's, you know, but when we say things like that, even though I think every last one of us would say it's not about our performance or intelligence, it's not about what we do.
But when it comes down to it,
it kind of seems like it. We act that way. You know, so we're people of a paradox. And the idea of losing our identity to a disease is terrifying.
We know from talking to people like from CCDA, the Christian Community Development Association, we've reevaluated Scripture and how God left everything and came down to the most vulnerable people, that God has a heart for people that are vulnerable and that God wants His people to minister to those people,
right,
and to add value. And I think, you know, when we've talked before, I think it was at Father's Day that we went to Full Gospel Church, and we talked about showing honor where honor's due, and that value that we can extend to people, either by revealing the value that's already there by God or increasing value in the people that we interact with.
Yeah, and giving honor where God gives honor, you know, that's a big deal. Because if God is seeing honor and value in the person who has nothing, and nothing covers an awful lot of space, we need to look at the value system that God uses to judge that, right?
For sure. You know, talking about Full Gospel Church, where we preach, oh goodness, I think it was almost a year ago now. It's a very special series going on right now from generation to generation. And I think that's something that's lacking in our churches about there's a separation, or in society. Used to be that three generations would live on the same block. Now we're on all sides of the country.
Sometimes in the same house they'd be living.
Yeah, but there's a value for this middle generation and the next generation and the next generation to be interacting together. Well, there's a special series going on right now at Full Gospel Church in St. Catharines.
It's exciting to watch a relay race where one runner has to perfect his pace with another so he can pass along the baton. It's the same with us when we pass along from one generation to the next. Join Full Gospel Church in St. Catharines this summer as Pastor Jim Wright explores the relationship between the prophets Elisha and Elijah. Discover how Elisha passes along the miracles, boldness, and blessings of God to the next generation. Do you want to serve the next generation? Do you want to learn how to accept the call, receive the power, and carry on the commission of Christ from the generation before us? Don't miss this series, going on now each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Full Gospel Church is located at 376 Carlton Street between Vine and Niagara in St. Catharines. For more information, visit fgcniagara.com. That's fgcniagara.com. Where connecting with each other is not just a slogan, it's what we do.
Find us on Facebook at WDCX Radio.
Marriage is a union that's full of joy, love, and all of life's ups and downs. It requires time for one another in order to thrive. Western New York Marriage Ministry presents Marriage Matters, a powerful weekend that will transform your marriage, September 16th and 17th at the chapel at Cross Point. Learn what marriage looks like through God's eyes from Jerry and Edie Gillis, Arnie and Hope Gwynn, and Kevin and Anna Barrett. There's limited availability, so register today at WNYMarriageMatters.com or call 716-609-3448.
I called for help as soon as I saw her.
I found her wandering miles from home.
When the phone rang at 5 a.m., I knew it was about Mom.
I see how hard it's been on her at work, and I want to help.
For the 5 million Americans living with Alzheimer's and the millions more who feel its effects, let's walk together to make an even bigger impact and end Alzheimer's for good. Find a walk near you at alz.org/walk.
Issues you've thought of but have never talked about at church, it's Crossing Borders with Mick Curtis and Michael O'Hara.
I'm tired, I'm worn, my heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes, I've let my hope fail, my soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption when.
Yeah, that name of that song is Worn, W-O-R-N, like I am worn, worn out, by the group 10th Avenue North. And that's what so many people experience. You know, we were talking about 16 million people by 2050.
No, by 2050, it's going to be like 30.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
am I getting it wrong?
It's right now 16 million. Yeah.
16 million. And all their caregivers that either quit their job or are essentially working a second job. That song, when it first came out, there was a resistance to play it on different stations because the song didn't have a resolve. It just kind of left off with no good ending. And I know that a lot of caregivers are out there feeling that same way, that what am I to do? There's no end to this, and I feel worn. Well, that's where the Alzheimer's Association comes in and provides lots of resources. And we are encouraging you, the listeners, to engage with us with the Walk to End Alzheimer's. And just as that PSA stated before, you can go to alz.org. You can look for a walk in your area. Once you find the Buffalo Walk, you can click to register and then search for the Crossing Borders team.
The Crossing Borders. Look, and also, I just did a fact check here.
Okay.
And you were right. It's 5 million right now, and it's going to be 16 million.
So I
don't want to be giving out bad numbers.
Hey, did we get the board op? Did we get that on tape? There we go. All right. I was right. But still, by 2050, 16 million people.
That is not an insignificant number.
Yeah. I mean, even right now, 5 million. That's an amazing number. And to feel the weight and the burden, and that this is something that's stringing on and on, no wonder that people have a fear for this, right?
Yeah. And it's terrifying for a whole bunch of reasons. But, you know, you asked about where does our value come from?
Absolutely. I 100% agree. I think the scriptures communicate God's heart for us and especially for those who are most vulnerable among us. And when we look at the lives of people with Alzheimer's disease and their caregivers, we can't forget them either. These are people who are vulnerable by their circumstances. They're vulnerable by needing other people to take care of them, by their dependency upon the church and families to take care of them. And you know, the passage from James is a good one there. And I also think of the passage in Matthew 25, where Jesus is talking about what his followers did for him, saying, I was hungry and you fed me. I was sick and you looked after me. You took care of me. And when we think about people with Alzheimer's, you know, we can hear the Lord say as we care for them, whatever you've done for the least of these, you've done for me. I think that's a beautiful and a challenging call for the church and all believers to look around them to see where are people vulnerable and how can we, in a sense, serve the Lord by stepping in and taking care of them.
I think that's a beautiful thing, and what a practical way to be salt and light and for the rest of culture, the rest of society around us to see that a church or the large C church steps up to minister to those that maybe don't contribute to society. What a light that would be. In the past, we had an interview with Catherine McCreet, and she wrote the book Darkness is My Only Companion, talking about mental illness. And in those times of severe depression, when you feel like you can't get out of bed, you feel like you don't even want to pray to God, how do we relate to God in that? So the question is here, if you or a loved one is experiencing dementia or Alzheimer's specifically, where you can't remember God, how do they or how do we relate to God in that instance?
You probably wouldn't be surprised how often this question comes up, both in clinic and in talking with people about this book. And I do trainings at churches, and it's a really critical and profound question. So what does it look like when I can no longer seem to remember the Lord or my faith? I think there are two parts to it. And the first is, how do we help people remember their faith and stay connected to the Lord in a practical way? And the other part, as you said, is a bit more on the theology of God and his character and the way that he reaches us. And I think one of the things that we have to come back to as Christians is that grace is primary. It's about what God has done to reach us and to hold on to us. And I think about several passages in relation to this issue with people with Alzheimer's disease. And the first is just parts of Psalm 139, which basically describes how deeply God knows us and knows the depths of our being better than we even know ourselves. The psalmist says, you search me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. Later it says, before a word is even on my tongue, you know it completely. And in Alzheimer's disease, one of the very painful things for families is that eventually they hit a point where they can't know what's going on in the mind of the person with Alzheimer's disease, and it's incredibly painful and confusing. The psalmist here reminds us that the Lord knows us deeper than we even know ourselves, but in God's grace, he doesn't stop there. If we were to flip ahead to Romans 8, we are told that the Holy Spirit, when we don't even know how to pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf, offering prayers and groans to the Father, consistent with his will. So it isn't just that God knows us, it is that his Holy Spirit is interceding for us, even when we don't know how to pray or when we can't seem to pray. And then the third thing that we have to try to remind each other is that even when we forget, that God promises to never forget us. In Isaiah 49, 15 and 16, the writer essentially says, can a mother forget the baby that she has born? Even if she were to forget, I would never forget you. That's the Lord speaking. I will not forget you, for your name is written on the palms of my hands. And so there's a real profound truth in Scripture that God knows us deeply. He holds on to us. He intercedes in prayers, and he promises to never forget us, regardless of our circumstances or our ability. And those are truths that we have to learn to rest in and also to remind each other of, because as I said, it's incredibly difficult and we're prone to forget, even if we don't have Alzheimer's.
Yeah, we need to remind ourselves and we need to remind others of these deep theological spiritual truths and what hope that brings to remind each other that God has engraved us in his hands and he does not forget.
Well, and we're image bearers of God, right?
Well, that comes back to that value, right?
Right.
Remember that show that we did a year ago at Kingdom Bound, and we were questioning the
with
book
Christian
of James.
Horizon, Christian Horizons people. We're Neil Cudney.
Yeah, that's
I
right.
I did that off the top of my head.
There you go.
Fact well, check that.
There you go. Well, we were talking about the book of James where he says, pure religion, or the pure outworking of our faith, the practical things that are pure in expressing our faith, is to minister to the widows and the orphans. And we said, okay, well, we agree with that. But if James was writing that today, would he say widows and orphans?
Well, and that's a really good question.
And why did he say those?
Well, I like that. I like even starting off with the premise of that, because those with Alzheimer's and you know, advanced stages of dementia, they're vulnerable at the most basic level,
mm-hmm.
at the most basic of levels.
Well, and that's why James wrote that, right? Is he was pointing out segments of our population that were the most vulnerable in his day. So if he was writing it today, would he include those with Alzheimer's and probably many others? And Dr. Mass absolutely agreed.
Well, I think they'd be grouped in with that group called the least of these.
Mm-hmm, right.
Right. Because they are. The dependency on others is just complete. You know, in some cases, there is a need for so much. And sometimes the most basic things are impossible for someone with this disease. You know, my mother-in-law tried to take care of her mother at home, and it got to the point that she couldn't even do the most basic things associated with personal hygiene. You know, so to compound the pain of her not knowing how to do these basic things, she would fight like somebody was coming to kill her when they would have to help her with a shower. Or, you know, she would fight and struggle like her life depended on it, mm-hmm. because in her mind, it was an attack.
And so we have to have patience. We have to have grace. And nobody knows that more than a caregiver dealing with a loved one that is dealing with Alzheimer's. And so we were talking about the theology behind how God relates to us when there's significant memory loss. But there's a practicality as well.
Well, you know, and what does it look like when somebody no longer remembers God or their faith? Well, God still knows us, and his promise is to be with us regardless of whether we know it or not. It doesn't put any stipulation on it.
Yeah, God remembers us first, even if we don't remember him. He's
That's right.
always more
That's
mindful
right.
of us than we are of him. And he pursues us, and he acts on our behalf. And that's what he does. And the Alzheimer's patient, what is their spiritual life? Okay, and for us as a body of Christ, as believers, okay, how do we minister to those people in very practical ways? And here's what Dr. Benjamin Mast had to say.
It's a really good question, and I think it's one that we're not asking often enough, because we see how forgetful people with Alzheimer's can become. But one of the things that we know now about memory is there are multiple memory systems. And so people with Alzheimer's disease are prone to forget recent and new information much more quickly than anything else. So asking them about what they did this morning is one of the hardest questions that they can answer.
Mm.
There are other aspects of memory. Their memory for music, their memory for their stories. I mean, we put these in technical terms. Their procedural and autobiographical memories are not as affected by Alzheimer's. So it's not uncommon to have somebody be confused about recent events, but when an old familiar hymn comes on, maybe the old Rugged Cross or Amazing Grace, that they will sing every word with us. And I think in God's grace, he's given us ways that we can help remind people that they are loved by God and they're loved by us and that they are connected to him by faith. And so I think about things like singing hymns together is one way that we can really minister to people with Alzheimer's. Even if they don't join in, there can be a remembrance that's happening below the surface.
I think in your book, maybe around page 45, you say that memory is more than just the recollection of facts or events. It also involves things we feel and do, and to some extent, less conscious aspects of who we are. So there's more underlying than just the memory, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it can be for music, as I said, or it can be for scripture passages that we've heard so many times, we don't have to think about them. My grandfather, I had two grandfathers now with dementia, and one of them had grown he was a man of very deep and long-standing faith, very involved in his church, but when he developed dementia, became apathetic and aggressive, and he really wouldn't interact with anybody. But at one point, a pastor came in, and the first time he visited, he asked a question he shouldn't have. He said, "Do you remember who I am?" Which is a really difficult question for a person with Alzheimer's. And he didn't remember him because he didn't know him well. But when the pastor came back, he opened up his scriptures and started reading Psalm 23. What he did was he would read a couple of words and then pause. So the Lord is my, and then my grandfather, who had been pretty aggressive and uncaring toward anybody else who came in, would fill in the blanks and say, my shepherd. And they basically went back and forth reading Psalm 23, reciting it from memory, actually, together. And that was a form of remembrance in the moment. He hadn't planned to remember that day, but it was somebody stepping into his life and being thoughtful and creative about helping him remember. Sometimes people, as you said, you know, they have a memory for the feeling. So even if they can't remember specifically what happened when you visited, they may have a trace of a memory for the way that you made them feel. And that is a mysterious piece of memory that we are just starting to learn a bit more about.
Correct me or expound upon this, whichever you feel is appropriate. You're suggesting for someone that is suffering memory loss that the best thing we can do is rely on memory, and that the best spiritual ministry that we can help with those that are suffering from memory loss is to help them reconnect with quote-unquote memories.
Yes, but it is a very nuanced approach to helping people remember. So let me explain first what I don't mean. What I don't mean is that we will go to the people that we love and seek to care for and say, don't you remember this or do you remember that? We don't want to make it into a quiz, right? And that is, it can be hard for us to do. We have to learn not to rely on asking them, do they remember? What we want to do instead is to try to draw on those older memories, memories for their story, to try to draw on things that are well-worn memory paths. We call them procedural memories. So when we say something is like riding a bike, that really refers to our procedural memory. We don't have to think about doing it. We just actually can do it because we know the steps. So part of the way that I believe the church can help people remember is by continuing to invite them into the life of faith and doing some of the common Christian practices that we have had for centuries, where we pray together, we recite the Lord's Prayer together, we sing hymns together, songs of praise and worship that are well known, that we read familiar passages, perhaps even share communion as an act of remembrance together, that we give them time and space to share their stories with us in a way that they're comfortable with. And we have to be gracious in inviting people in to remember, because they may repeat themselves and they may get occasionally confused. But what we're doing is answering the biblical call to remember the Lord and his goodness, to remember his presence and his promises for our lives. But we're not trying to quiz the person to see what they can remember. In a sense, we're inviting them in grace and mercy so that they will be prompted in their remembrance of their Lord and of their life story and his involvement in it.
Okay, so Mick, I find it really interesting that Dr. Mast, and by the way, if you're just joining us, this interview is with Dr. Benjamin Mast. He's the author of a book called Second Forgetting, Remembering the Power of the Gospel During Alzheimer's. And we have the Alzheimer's event coming up on September 17th. But Mick, I find it really interesting that Dr. Mast suggests that when we're dealing with people that have memory issues, that we rely on memory.
Yeah, it does seem something of
right.
a contradiction.
I mean,
when
you say it that way, it's interesting, but it's like he said, it's more nuanced. There's different levels.
Well, you know, it is an interesting piece of the puzzle that, in as far as recent events or new events, they're the most difficult things for somebody to remember with Alzheimer's, but they may not be able to remember the specific of an event, yet they may remember the feeling of a memory. And I thought that was really interesting. So they don't necessarily get the event, but they remember how they feel or felt during the memory. And I think that's incredible.
And one of the things he says in his book is that, you know, it matters a lot how I feel right now, even though I may not remember it in 30 minutes. So
right,
how precious are those moments? I love these videos where there's a woman in a nursing home and someone plays a familiar song like Amazing Grace, and then you just see the lights go right up. Yeah, and they're reconnecting with that memory, that felt deep memory, and it's how precious are those moments.
You know, and I loved it when he talked about how the church can minister to somebody with this condition, inviting them to be part of the daily routine of a Christian, whether it be scripture reading, him singing, things that we do, you know, and we're talking about the things that the Lord has done in our lives, everyday things that we just do because we do them, right? We do them because we want to honor God. But some of the things that we do may seem like repetition, but it's important to remember that that really is how truth is woven through the fabric of our being, you know, and so this is where it goes from being something that we know intellectually to being something that we are at our core, regardless what else is happening.
We talked earlier about how God pursues us, even though when we don't pursue him, maybe we don't have the mental capacity to do that, and how that God always acts on our behalf and is actually advocating. People with memory loss need someone to advocate for them. Think about all the people that need someone to advocate for them. Well, this station wouldn't be possible without our advertisers. And there's people that we know that advocate for people all the time. Whether it's specialized in different field, lawyers advocate for people and stand in the gap and help them. That might be an opportunity for you to get engaged with WDCX if you are a lawyer.
Part of any successful business is the result of effective marketing. But you're a lawyer. Your focus is on your clients and their needs. That's why you became a lawyer, to help people. That's where we come in. At WDCX, we're here to help business owners like you succeed with effective marketing campaigns. We'll work with you through our advertising process to reach the Christian community. If you're a lawyer in the Western New York area, we want to speak with you. Give us a call here at the station, 883-3010.
Can you imagine if every WDCX listener joined us in Delaware Park Saturday, September 17th for the Walk to End Alzheimer's? That would be awesome.
It's exciting to watch a relay race where one runner has to perfect his pace with another so he can pass along the baton. It's the same with us when we pass along from one generation to the next. Join Full Gospel Church in St. Catharines this summer as Pastor Jim Wright explores the relationship between the prophets Elisha and Elijah. Discover how Elisha passes along the miracles, boldness, and blessings of God to the next generation. Do you want to serve the next generation? Do you want to learn how to accept the call, receive the power, and carry on the commission of Christ from the generation before us? Don't miss this series going on now each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Full Gospel Church is located at 376 Carlton Street between Vine and Niagara in St. Catharines. For more information, visit FGCNiagara.com. That's FGCNiagara.com. Where connecting with each other is not just a slogan, it's what we do.
All Sons and Daughters, live in concert, Friday, August 26th at 6 p.m. You're invited to Batavia's Great Tabernacle Revival at the Genesee County Fairgrounds for an evening of incredible music with All Sons and Daughters. Featuring special guests Sayla and Elmwood Drive. Tickets on sale now starting at just $25. Get your tickets today at EFFChurch.com. That's EFFChurch.com or call 585-297-3155.
The riches of this world.
Digging deeper and diving in to equip you to build bridges with those around you. This is Crossing Borders.
I empty myself to owe this world nothing and find everything in you. The riches of this world.
Man, that is a new treat. That is for you listeners. That is I Surrender. It's by the group All Sons and Daughters. That song hasn't even come out yet, but we got our hands on it. Because they're going to be in our area on August 26th in Batavia for the Great Tabernacle campaign that's going to be out there. So that's 2 weeks from now. But next week, we got a very special Crossing Borders where we're going to have an interview with All Sons and Daughters, as well as Jamie George, who is their pastor. They collaborated together in releasing this new CD. I think it's September 2nd. They're going to be in Batavia on August 26th, but next week we'll talk about this new CD called Poets and Saints as well as the companion book written by Jamie George, who has Western New York connections. So I'm really looking forward to that next week.
I got to tell you, next week I'm going to have my brain full of a bunch of other things. My son is getting married, and you look at all the things that happen to you and all the things that create this basic texture of our life. When I think of those things and I think back on Caitlin, my daughter, getting married, you know, those are just incredible memories. When we talk about this, what would it be to not be able to recall those things? And I know I'm not an expert in Alzheimer's. I really can only talk about what I've been exposed to. But what would it be if we couldn't remember? Where would we find our solace?
It's a very precious thing. And the call for our listeners, the call for you and me, Mick, is at Matthew 5 and is at James. The pure and undefiled religion is to look after those that are vulnerable and to look after, like in Matthew 5, the least of these. When we do that, we're actually ministering to Jesus, Jesus said. And that's a challenge for us. So I wanted to ask Dr. Mast, what is the call? Because on our show, we want to give you a call to action. What can we do as individuals, as churches, or at large, at the community? And here's what Dr. Mast has to say. So Dr. Mast, before you gave us some really practical advice about how we can have some spiritual ministry to those suffering from dementia, which a lot of people really struggle with understanding how we can do that. And we need to really understand the disease or how they function, how they relate to God so that we can do that. One thing is interesting is that there's kind of a loss of a sense of time with dementia patients, right? You lose a sense of the past. You lose a sense of the future. You're very present, which may be a good or bad thing, right?
There's a lot of time confusion for people with dementia. And, you know, before the break, we were talking a bit about prompting people to remember. One of the things that is part of that is sometimes people get confused about time and place, what year it is or how old they are. And for many years, the recommendations were to correct that and offer sort of a reality orientation. And the field has really shifted on that to be much more merciful, in a sense, to meet people where they are, because when they have those memory problems, it's so easy to get confused about time and place. And so focusing on engaging them, as you said, rather than correcting them is one of the key pieces of that time confusion.
What do you think that the call is? You know, with our show, Crossing Borders, we like to give them a call to action. This issue specifically, how can we, either as individuals or as a church, engage with the population that is suffering some form of memory loss?
I think there's a lot there. There's at the individual, the family level, but I want to speak just briefly to the level of the church, because I think there is tremendous potential for us to speak into the culture, not only of dementia care, but just to be a people of love and mercy who are looking both at the people who are affected by dementia within the churches, but also in our communities. It's one of the reasons I'm so excited to hear that your station is on board with the Walk to End Alzheimer's, with the Alzheimer's Association, because it shows a level of concern and care that will speak to the broader culture. But one of the things that became apparent as I was writing Second Forgetting, I had the opportunity to speak with pastors and families affected by Alzheimer's, and one of the things that came up often was that many of them had been a part of a church community for a very long time, and they felt as if once Alzheimer's set in and it became hard for them to attend churches on Sunday or on Wednesday or whenever it might be, they felt as if they were forgotten.
Mm.
And one pastor who had both been a pastor and an Alzheimer's caregiver said to me, "Sometimes I think the church has an Alzheimer's of its own." In that once families or individuals affected by Alzheimer's can no longer contribute or show up on Sunday, they're quickly forgotten. And so I think the call is for us to look around us and to be attentive to people who might be struggling with memory and other dementia-related issues, and to remain present in their lives, to step in and be willing to covenant with them, to journey with them, and to simply be present. When I asked these caregivers about what is the biggest thing that the church could do for you to better minister and help care for your needs, presence was the number one answer, that just to stay present on the journey. One caregiver said to me, "I would just die for a phone call, for somebody from the church to call me and check in just to see how I'm doing." And the beauty is taking that simple step of remaining present in their lives allows you to see, a variety of other ways that you can minister to them. Maybe it's physical support, maybe it's emotional support, or maybe it's spiritual support, praying with them and helping care for their loved one so that they can, again, attend services and be a part of the life of the church on those Sundays as well. There's so much we can do, but really the call is to start to seek out those people in our churches and our communities and stay present and to pray for the Spirit to guide you about how you can step in. So that, I think that, to me, is the biggest call.
Well, I think we need to evaluate our churches. Are churches experiencing Alzheimer's themselves, a forgetting? Dr. Mass, this is the last question. The title of the book, Second Forgetting, what does that mean?
So Second Forgetting is really about our spiritual forgetting. The first forgetting, which bears some explanation, is the memory symptoms of Alzheimer's that really start us on this journey. People start to forget, and it brings them to a physician. The second forgetting is something that, in a sense, we all experience when we become overwhelmed by the challenges of life. Like the Israelites in the Old Testament and like the disciples in the New Testament, when we get frightened and overwhelmed, we forget that God is with us. We forget that he's taken care of us in the past, and we forget that he's promised to be with us into a much brighter and more beautiful future. So the second forgetting really is a forgetting of the Lord. And we're called in the scriptures not only to remember the Lord, but to help each other remember him and his goodness, so that when things like Alzheimer's or the demands of caregiving come, we'll be able to remember and we'll have hope in him and his grace.
Dr. Mass, how can people get the book or get other resources or find out more about yourself?
So the book, Second Forgetting, is available from most booksellers, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You often find it in your local bookstore as well. I also have a website where I have additional resources. It's just my name, BenjaminMast, MAST.com.
So that's the name of the website, Benjamin Mast, M-A-S-T is the last name, BenjaminMast.com. You can find out, you can link to all kinds of resources, but you can also get the book through the website, or you can get it almost anywhere. Second Forgetting, Remembering the Power of the Gospel Through Alzheimer's. You know, Mike, I'm thinking about all the, I don't know if I should say rituals, all the things that the Jewish traditions, draw back to remember things that God had done for them. And even while they were in the midst of that, they would go through the Red Sea and they would build an altar. They would stack up stones and they would build something to always tie back to.
They would create a memory for it.
Yeah. And I want to tell people about the Walk in Alzheimer's and how they can join with us and our team. But I think you had something you wanted to say to those who are listening, either that are facing Alzheimer's in their own life or are looking at or actually now helping someone with Alzheimer's.
Yeah, Dr. Mast has laid out so many good things. And one of the things that, you know, we talk about whether God has forgotten or whether because they can't remember, you know, has God forgotten. But the loss of a time frame reference is difficult. Well, he referenced the Hebrew people. In Deuteronomy 31:8, it says, "The Lord himself will go before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forget you. Don't be afraid and don't worry." None of that is contingent on my memory. It's his promise. You know, so maybe you're one of the folks who are, you know, struggling with this right now. Maybe it's a new thing. Maybe you're a caregiver of somebody, then it just seems like it's never going to end for you. God hasn't forgotten about you. Maybe everything else has been forgotten. God has not. God knows who you are. He knows exactly the circumstance, and his word is good. It can be relied on. Alzheimer's disease is the great equalizer. It doesn't matter who you are or what you think about yourself, Christian or non-Christian, anyone can be afflicted with this thing. If we look at ministry, where that's supposed to happen, walking beside somebody that's struggling with this disease is fundamental to reaching out to them, to ministering to them, just reminding them that God loves them, regardless of what they can actually remember. It allows us to be salt and light to those that are in desperate need.
And that is the call for us, is not to forget to engage, not to be guilty of what that one pastor / caregiver said, is that the church, or the Big C church, the church's collaborative, have an Alzheimer's of their own, and they're forgetting those who maybe can't attend or they see less of them. engage with those people. Make it a point to minister and just show that they're valued and that they care.
Yeah, regardless how they may feel about it, they may be embarrassed about their family member's situation. They might be embarrassed of their own situation. But us loving them, you know, and looking at them not for what they can do, what they can remember, but because they have value, because they are image bearers of the living God. That's why we do those things. That's where the value comes from.
So if this is tugged at your heart, we want to let you know that that's the thing that you can do. You can do that. There's other ways to do things too. You can engage with us for the Walk to End Alzheimer's. You can make a donation to the Crossing Borders team that's going to be walking at Delaware Park on September 17th. Mick's family, my family is going to be there. You can donate to our team, help fund the research and support that the Alzheimer's Association does. Or even better, we'd love for you to join us and walk
join
with
the team.
Us. That would be really awesome. So donate or walk together with us and go to alz.org, click on Find a Walk Near You, type in Buffalo, and then when you get there, hit register and look up Crossing Borders.
Join the Crossing Borders team. Yep. Now, are you going to give away glossies to anybody that joins?
I think the answer to that is a definite no.
Definite no. Okay.
It's called a face for radio for a reason. Anyway, hey, we're so glad that you joined us today. We hope that this has encouraged you, equipped you, and challenged you to engage with a population that is a lot of times under...
They're forgotten,
yeah. Right? So... Hey, join us next week as we interview All Sons and Daughters and Jamie George. It's going to be really great. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm Michael O'Hara.
I'm Mick Curtis.
Your love, this freedom's untainted. With you, the moment is wasted. See the sun now bursting through the clouds, black and white, turned to color all around. All is new. And the Savior I am found. This is living now. Freedom is an open door. You are everything I want and more. You lead the way, God, you're right beside me. In your love, complete. There's nothing like living with you. This life you created, I choose. See the sun.